So this morning, we're going to go together to a thought we're going to call Press On. All right? We're going to call it Press On. So for you children in the room today, on one side of your page, you've got a picture of some men. Who are the men on the front side of that page? The wise men. All right? So we still have Christmas decorations up. The wise men didn't come till later, so we're still remembering the birth of Christ. And on the back side of that, you'll find a little child who's talking with their mother saying, I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor the Lord. And that's what we're really pursuing today, evaluating our lives, living in light of God's Word, striving to honor the Lord. So the goal here this morning is to really progress from 2013 into 2014. We're just a couple days shy of that, right? We're going to be in the new year here. So we're going to take some time together to try to maybe evaluate where we are and where it is that the Lord would like to lead us or where we're headed. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we'll be there shortly. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along in your bulletin or on the wall. That text will be there when we arrive there, okay? So we're going to read a word today which means to press, all right? And we'll get to that in just a minute. But when you think of the word press, what do you think of? Press on. Fingernails. Anything else? Keeping on, keeping on. Persevering. All right? To push. Okay? That's all right there at it. I mean, you guys have been studying your Greek, so it's the idea of striving forward. All right? It's pushing, it's stretching, it's pressing. And so that's what we're going to be dealing with today, trying to be someone who is intentional and an initiator in life rather than a reactor. So if you think about your life right now, which one of those two people are you? Are you an initiator who goes out and works and is chasing something? Or are you the reactor who kind of sits back and lets life happen and then you respond how you believe God would want you to? How many of you are initiators? I wake up today and I got something I got to get done today and I'm going to get it done. Okay, so some of us are that way. How many of you are more of just the responders? Kind of let life come to you and then you react accordingly. Okay, but what we're going to talk about here is pressing on is that idea of being an initiator. An initiator, somebody who gets it rolling, somebody who gets the game started. And we'll use the analogy of a game here for today. See, when I think of a press, some of you are going to love this, I think of the game of basketball. So I don't know if you've ever played basketball or not, but if you have ever seen a team that has bought into their coach's strategy to press and they are invested, it's a beautiful thing. Right? It is a beautiful thing in the game of basketball because these people are aggressive, they are intense, they are initiating the pressure. See, typically most of the teams that I played growing up, when we had the ball, they would run back down to the other end and they would wait for us to get there. And they're kind of watching what we're doing and then they're going to respond to that. That's a responder. That's how most people play defense because they just don't have the athletes or the desire to get out and press hard the whole game. But there are some teams we press that were extremely annoying. And I mean they were annoying and they were in your face and they were arms flying everywhere and they're screaming trying to just distract you. And it is helter-skelter. It's crazy ball. And when it's done well, and if you're on the sidelines watching it, it's beautiful. If you're on the court, it's miserable. All right? So what we're not trying to say is, hey, let's go forward in 2014 and be annoying for Jesus. What we're saying is let's be intent. Let's be intentional. Let's be the initiators. Let's have some fire in our gut. Let's have a goal. Let's have a mark that we're pressing towards. Something to work on. Right? When there's a press there, it's a beautiful thing. Something to press on towards is what we're after. Maybe you're not a sports fan or you don't understand that analogy. Have you ever been outside working a hot summer day and you're sweating and the gnats are just flying all around you? And they're in your ear and they're trying to get in your nose and they're in your eye and they're in your mouth. And it's just, what are you doing? You're just like this, right? And you're trying to work and you're just smacking yourself. Or maybe you've been by a farm and you've seen a cow or a horse and their tail's just going like crazy because they're trying to get the fly. They're just annoyed to death, all right? They're being swarmed. There's an aggression, there's an intention there in those little gnats or fleas. And why ever God created them, I'm sure he has a purpose. But typically we don't enjoy them. The goal, though, in all this today is what we're going to try to pursue is how to press on, how to be intentional and how to be intense in our pursuit. And so I want you to think before we begin, in your spirit right now, is there a fire that is burning for the Lord? Is there a fire? Is there an intensity in your relationship? Is there passion and urgency? Are you pressing towards a God goal? Or are we just sitting back going, okay, God, you do something and we'll jump on board? Right? Being an initiator rather than a responder is what we're going to try to work through today. So if you have your Bible, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to find a man by the name of Paul. And Paul has written this letter and he's kind of just laying it out openly and honestly. He's being pretty transparent. At the beginning of this letter, we won't read it, but Paul says, we don't boast in ourselves. Who do we boast in? We boast in Jesus. But if anybody could boast and brag about themselves, it would be me. And he goes on to list his pedigree, all of his credentials. Why, if anybody could stand up and say, I'm the man, it would be Paul. And so he lists all these things that the world would say are necessary or make you seem like you have value or worth. And then he's going to give us some insight as to what matters the most. So let's go to Philippians 3. We're going to read verses 7 through verse 16. And so Paul is dealing with these things he said are amazing. What would make somebody boast about themselves? Verse 7, he says, but these things that I'm just talking about that were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We're dealing with righteousness today. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, and I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call or the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, give it some time. God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of that same mind. So it is this morning. I want to look together from this text a few things that Paul demonstrates by his life. Not just his words here, but his life, what it looks like to press on. So if you want to follow in your bulletin, we'll note a few of these here today. You can write them down if you want. You don't have to at all. It's just one way to try to stay connected with where we're heading. So the first thing we'll say is this. To press on is going to require us to take an honest look at ourselves. To press on is going to require us to take an honest look at ourselves. So when's the last time you've had an honest evaluation? Been to a doctor recently? Think you're in great health, great shape, and then the doctor says, oh no, right? We need to talk a little bit. Or maybe you looked in the mirror, like I've looked in the mirror here recently, and I think, man, I'm becoming a pretty shaggy-looking character. This is getting kind of gnarly. And so when you look at it and really study yourself, sometimes you see things that you didn't really understand or anticipate to be there. And so here's what I believe today. I believe it's far too easy for us to come in here and sit as Christians and say, yes, I'm pressing on. And yes, I'm fully pursuing the Lord and my heart is after him and I want to know him more than anything. It's too easy just to come in here and sit and say that and walk out without having an honest evaluation. And so what I'm asking then is this, what proves that? What proves in my life that I'm pursuing the Lord? What proves it to you that you would say, yes, I am pressing on. Yes, I am stretching. Yes, I am aggressively, intensely, intently pursuing the Lord. We see Paul's going to make an honest evaluation of himself here today. So in verse 12, here's what he says, and this is just part of the verse. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Not that I have already obtained and not that I have already reached my goal. In verse 13, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And so what's he saying? He's saying, I'm not there yet. There is a goal that I am pursuing, and in front of you, I'm just being honest, is what Paul's saying. I haven't reached it. And so I'm trying to become like Jesus, and I'm pressing on for what Christ has taken hold of me for heaven. My eyes are fixed there, but I'm not there yet, and I'm not perfect yet. And so I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep on doing the things that work to honor my God. And so there was still some needful work that needed to be done in his life. But what I want you to notice here this morning is this. We tend to do this in private, don't we? We tend to evaluate ourselves when nobody else is in the room. So we want to get a good look at ourselves and make sure the door is closed and locked. And we go, ooh, that's who I really am. Right? Or I'm thinking about in my mind how I picture myself. Sometimes we don't want to share that with people. What we find here in Paul didn't just sit down and write on a stone or a piece of paper and keep it to himself. What did he do with it? He wrote it in a letter that we're reading today. He wrote it down. This is how he viewed himself, an honest inventory, and he shared it with everybody else. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it has to be done, but I'm also not saying that I think that's a bad approach. See, here again, I think we're far too willing sometimes to be to ourselves. You don't tell me anything about me, and I'll leave you alone. And you don't talk to me about how you think I'm growing or not growing, and I won't talk to you about the same things. And so you just say you love Jesus, I'll just say I love Jesus, and everybody's going to love Jesus, and it's all working out. And that's not what that's not biblical. Right? What we find is accountability. What we find is need for other people. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you before you get to 2014 to look back over 2013 and write down some things about yourself. How do you view yourself? What are the goals that you're pressing towards? What's the fire in your gut? What's the intensity for the Lord? Why do you wake up? What do you care about most? Where are you investing everything or most of what the Lord has given you with your time or your ability or your money? Where are you putting it? You see what I'm saying? It's far too easy to say, I love the Lord and I'm doing things for Him without sitting down to really inventory if that's true or not. And then here's the next step. Write it down and then share it with somebody. Does that scare any of us? Now here's the deal. Share it with somebody you trust. Share it with somebody who's going to be open and honest. You know, I don't want people in my life speaking most into my life who are just going, man, you're great. I don't need that. And I don't need people in my life going, man, you stink. I need people who say, I see that you're trying. And maybe this is how you see yourself. And yeah, I can see that in you also. But I also see some of this here that maybe you don't see. Or what's on your list, I would add a few things to it that I think are admirable. Or some things here that maybe you think that you've really got under wraps that you just don't. See, that's kind of scary, right? Because we want everybody to like us. We always want everything to be peaceful. And it should be peaceful. That's why the Bible says, speak the truth how? Grace. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. So it's not, you're a terrible husband. You think you're good at being a husband? That's not what's going to work. Right? What's going to work is seasoning that with some grace. This is what you think of you as a dad. I dare you, dads, write it down and put it in front of your kids. Get them around the dinner table. Hey, this is how I see myself as your father and the interest that I have in your life. Or this is how I see myself as your mother and the goals that I have for you. Do you see me this way? Are you experiencing from me the way that I feel like I'm portraying myself to you? It can be very helpful. So here's the elephant we need to throw away. If we think we don't need anybody else, we're just fooling ourselves. We're willing to be mediocre. We're willing to be painted faces and hollow spirits. Yes, you have Jesus, and yes, you have the Spirit, and yes, you also have Christian brothers and sisters who can speak truth into your life. So open the door and let them. Open the door and let them. My office door is open. I tell that to people regularly. So don't go get on your phone and talk to so-and-so about how unhappy you are. Get on your phone and say, hey, can I talk to you? And we'll sit down and talk about it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. And even if it does hurt, when it's done right, I know that it's because your heart's right. Right? So we need to be willing to take that honest inventory of ourselves. Sometimes we need to let others paint a picture of who we are. We need to see ourselves through someone else's eyes. Here recently, my mom went to the doctor and just some things going on she didn't think were any big deal. And come to find out, there is a pretty big deal going on. And so she's going to have some surgery coming up. And she was trying to put it off. And she said to the doctor, you know, it's really not that, you know, it's not a problem, is it? And the doctor, without hesitation, said, oh, you have problems. And she was kind of like, oh. Because I thought I didn't. I thought I was this way, and you're saying you're seeing me this way. Right? And we kind of get a clearer picture of who we are. Sometimes we need people like that. I see myself as this kind of pastor. I see myself as this kind of husband or father or friend. But what I need to hear from you is, well, but this is kind of how I see you. Maybe it's not what you intend, but that's how it comes across. Right? I mean, aren't we in this thing together? Doesn't iron sharpen iron? And yeah, there may be some spark there, but there's also growth. There's benefit. There's health. And so I challenge you to be willing to write it down and then take that next step and say, is this how you see me? Get an honest evaluation of yourself if you're going to press on. Otherwise, we're not even sure where we're pressing. But for me, the Lord's been prodding my heart for quite some time about the discipline of my quiet time. And I've asked my wife here recently to pray for me. I have quiet time regularly, and I love it. And I love to read, and I love to sing, and I love to pray, and I love to meditate. But for me, when I feel like my depth of spirit is really coming, is when I'm writing. And you know what I don't like to do very much? I don't like to write. It's just a habit is what you have to get into. And I was in that habit for a while. It's a discipline. And so I've said, hey, will you pray for me? Because I want to get up about 30 minutes earlier. And I want to sit and meditate. And I want to write. I'm not trying to write a book. Don't misunderstand me. It's just I'm writing out my prayers. I'm writing out words. I'm writing out thoughts. I'm highlighting my Bible. I want more. I want more. There's a hunger to know the Lord better. So I'm going to have to give up some things, right? Anybody find it easy to get up early? Me either, okay? I can do it one or two days. We're going to play golf. We're going to go fishing. We're heading out on vacation. Man, I'll get up early and we'll hit the road. But to wake up every day over and over and just really settle your heart there, it takes some discipline. It's a habit. All a habit is what you and I default to. It's exactly what we default to. And so sometimes it requires us to take an honest evaluation. Take some time here to look at yourself. All right, let's progress here. That's just where we're starting. And I know that's not easy, and it doesn't get any easier. But it will get better. Press on by evaluating yourself. Secondly here, if it's going to require us to press on, or what does require it is to leave behind some things that are going to hinder us. Leave behind those things which are going to hinder us. So it's a good thing to be honest about myself and to get that clear evaluation, but then that's not it, right? Okay, so I see myself clearly. Now it means I got to deal with how I see myself. It's one thing to have clarity. It's something else to deal with what I've found. So, Kay, Mom, you've got some problems. And she could spend the rest of her life going, oh, I've got problems. And never do a thing about it. Right? Somewhere, clarity cannot be enough. It may start there, but now we've got to deal with what it is that's been revealed. And so what we're after is change. What we're after is growth. What we're after is development. What we're after is God to further us, not just to paint a clearer picture of who we currently are. to do that's going to require us to leave some of this stuff in the past. Let's go back to the text there in verse 13. We read the first part of it. The middle part of that says this. Paul says, one thing I do, and that's this. I'm forgetting what is behind. Now, the one thing that he's going to do is press on. But to be able to press on, he's saying, I've got to forget some things. And what we're going to see in a minute is I've got to stretch for some things as well. The one thing I do is to forget what lies behind. Now, when Paul says forget what lies behind, is he saying forget that it ever happened? Is he saying have no memory of anything in your past? No, that's not what he means at all. He's not trying to get us to wipe clean everything that we have as a memory or everything that we've experienced. It means at least a couple things that we'll talk through here this morning. The first thing is this. To wipe out the past or not be hindered by my past means let's not live in the glory of the good old days. Don't live in the glory of the good old days. For example, so what? You scored 30 points in a high school basketball game. You're 50. You're 60. You're 40 almost. What are you doing now? You know what I'm saying? It's not live in the glory of the good old days. And I'm not saying it's wrong to reminisce and remember and celebrate. That's all good. What I'm saying is that doesn't define me today. That's old news. That was old pressing. Today is a new day, and I'm to be pressing still yet. What's the goal that I'm chasing? What is it that I'm after? So yes, reminisce, but don't live in the glory of the good old days. See, what can happen, sometimes we get complacent in today when we've had some success in the past. How many athletes are there, professional athletes, who are broke? How do you make millions of dollars and in 10 years become broke? It's because you live as a what I once was, and you got nothing driving who you are today. And so what? Your poster could be on all sorts of walls, but what are you doing now? It's great that you have accomplishments. It's great that you've been successful in business. It's great that you've raised your children good up through age 6 or 10. But what about now? You see what I'm saying? There's some things we just got to leave behind. We can't just live in the glory of the good old days. Because when I stay there, I do nothing today. And we just talk about how good it once was. And I wish we could go back. And how bad it is today. And how much a wreck our world is in today. And how bad our president is today. And how bad our economy is today. And how bad families are today. And schools are today. And immorality is today. And we go on and on about how bad everything is today compared to back then. There was as much junk and sin back then as there is today. So don't live in the glory of the good old days. I'm not saying don't reminisce. I love to reminisce and talk about those things. Back when I had hair, we pulled out pictures this week. Who is this man? That's your dad. He had hair. It's good to remember. And the Bible is full of it from cover to cover. Remind yourself. But don't just live there. God's got something current that He wants to do in your life. God has a future, right? Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, to give you a hope and there's a future, there's something coming. And yes, that entirely includes things eternal, but it includes getting there as well. So don't allow your past accomplishments to hinder what it is that you're pursuing today. Enjoy them, yes, but don't become complacent because somewhere in my past I've done something well. What it also means is this, forgetting what is behind. Somewhere we've got to learn to allow our past mistakes to stay in our past. Somewhere we've got to learn to allow those things to not define who I am today or who I can be today. See, that's the work of our adversary, to try to remind us that you're guilty and that you're sinful and that this is your past and it's regrettable. And sometimes for people, that's all they'll ever become. I'm getting into heaven, so they would say, by the skin of my teeth. I know that's my home, but I've done too much sin here to ever do anything that amounts to anything for the Lord. Or I've done too much here to really have any kind of solid reputation. Don't allow your past to define who you can be today. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes the choices we make limit future choices, right? Sometimes I make a poor decision, and that means I had this many choices in the future, and now I've only got this many. So it could be about college, or it could be about marriage. Could be about a job. Could be about making a poor choice in stealing a car. Whatever it is, we have choices, and when we make bad decisions, it limits our future. I'm not necessarily talking about everything that we can do. I'm talking about who we are becoming. Who we are becoming. So the world might label you forever as a sinner or as whatever it is that you and I have done, but that doesn't mean we have to stay there personally. Remember earlier we said sometimes we need to see ourselves through someone else's eyes. It's a good thing always to look at ourselves through God's eyes. How does God call out to you? How does God call out to me? What's He saying? Sinner, I hate you. Coward, thief, adulterer. No, He says child. He says beloved. He says you're mine, royal. He calls out to us in ways that we don't see ourselves. So sometimes we need to see ourselves through that lens. We also need to see it through our own lens. And what that will require is there's going to be some things I have to leave behind. See, maybe you've said some things like this. I've always been this way and I always will be this way. You ever said that? I am what I am and I'll never change. I just can't. I've always had a bad temper. I'll always have a bad temper. Anybody have a temper? We don't want to admit it because we got the painted faces on. We can't let people know. We can't let them have an honest evaluation that, yeah, I yell sometimes. And yeah, I've been mad in the past. And yeah, there were two boys, if I had found, I would have ran them over with a car. And you think I'm kidding. I've shared that story with you. I wouldn't be your pastor today. I'd be behind bars because of a dumb decision would have limited my future. Because this young pin boy used to have temper issues. See, you played basketball at my house and you scored on me, you'd be go getting the ball out of the neighbor's yard. Or it'd be flat. I'd slit it. Or I'd run over it in my car. You're going to pound my brother, I'm going to Ralphie you like out of the Christmas story. Boom, 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 boom. And little Benji went home crying bloody-nosed. Because I'm not proud of it. I'm saying there's a temper. I used to hate that about myself. And you'd say something to me and I wasn't the initiator, but I was definitely the responder. You want to start it and I'll try to finish it. I'm not very strong. I'm not very big. I'll probably get whooped, but I'm going to die trying. And that was kind of the spirit. There was just a temper. And so I battled and I battled and I battled. And finally I learned, Corey, you got to pray about it because you're losing this battle. And people think you're shy and you think you're quiet and you are, but there's this rage within and you're just willing to explode at a moment. And so I started begging God. I hated it about myself. Made me ashamed, made me feel guilty. Lord, you got to rid me of this. This is not the guy that I want to be. You know what? I don't have temper problems anymore. It's not because I'm older and wiser. That hadn't happened a whole lot. It's because I've prayed and God has worked. See, I was not willing to say that's how I was and that's who I'll always be. And I'm just stuck that way. I guess I'll just blow up at people the rest of my life. God prodded my spirit and said, that doesn't reflect me, son. I'm meek. I'm long-suffering. I'm patient. I'm kind. I'm gentle. We need to replace some of this temperament with my spirit. And I said, please. You don't have to allow your past to define who you're going to be in the future. You can if you're willing to stay there. But sometimes there's some things we need to leave behind. Maybe for you it's not a temper. Maybe for you it's your mouth. Anybody mouthy? Is that not polite enough? Anybody have difficulty controlling your tongue? Right? I promise you, you try it on your own, you're going to fail every time. I'm not going to lash out at my kids. Yes, you are. I'm not going to be disrespectful to my spouse. Yes, you are. Because you're not going to change that on your own. That requires some of the Lord's help here. And so there's some things that I have to just be willing to leave in my past and allow God to work out. It may be your mind. I just can't win the battle in my mind, you might say. I'm constantly thinking thoughts that are not godly. I'm constantly seeing things that are not good for me. And so I'm just struggling. I guess this is just who I'm going to be the rest of my life. It may be if you're willing to live there. But to press on, friend, see, here's the thing. You will never press on, and neither will I, with courage and confidence when we've got all this stuff boiling inside. Right? If I had a big temper issue and there's an opportunity where I need to talk to somebody, you think I'm going to take it? No, I'm going to back up, and I can't get involved in that because I can't even control myself. Whereas now I could step in with grace and salt and say, Lord, give me wisdom here. And try to deal with it and work through it. Right? We'll be hindered forever if we don't leave some of our past in the past. Take the good things from it. Learn from your sin. But progress. Progress. Maybe it could be something entirely different. Maybe for you it's a bad habit. I've had this habit for years and I'll never be able to quit it. I'll never be able to stop it. If you want to have that habit the rest of your life, God will let you have it. But He'll also equip you. He'll give you the power, won't He, to break a habit. This is what I've done for years. And God, you got to help me. Doesn't mean it's easy. But He'll give us the strength to be able to overcome. God wants to change you, man. He wants to change me. He wants to help us become more like His Son, Jesus. That's the goal. And He's willing to do so if we'll let Him. See, God wants to make beauty out of my ashes. And He wants to do the same thing for you. We've got to be willing to leave some of these things in the past. Rather than resolving to say, this is just the way I'll be forever, I'll never be able to change. So to press on reminds us, and yes, we need to think about past accomplishments, but don't live there. Let that past stay there. You press on today, pursuing new things today. And it also says to us that there are some things that we've done that could define us. But with God's help, it will not. See, every one of our stories should be, I'm not who I was. That should be the story of faith for the Christian. I'm not who I once was. I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm not that man I used to be either. Right? That's part of the pressing on, stretching, intense pursuit of becoming like Christ. Let me ask you before we progress, do you have a past? We all have a past. There's not a person in this room. Some of you younger children in this room, you probably don't know a whole lot what I'm talking about. But for the adults in this room, we've all got one. We've all got things that are regrettable. We all have things that we don't want anybody to know about us. And far too often we look at people and we label them because of something they've done in their past. What if people did the same thing to us? Is your past any prettier? Is my past any prettier? No. Far too often we're willing to call. They did this when they were 18 or in their 20s. They could never do anything for the Lord. And you need to clock me out also. Because my resume is regrettable. I'm the poster child for rebellion if there ever was one. Some things you just got to leave in the past. You got to press on. Man, nobody knows this better than Paul. Remember in the book of Acts, there was a guy who stood before the council, religious leaders, and he was talking, he was recounting like the whole history of Israel. And he brought it up through Jesus. And he was crucified, and his blood is on your hands. What was that guy's name? Stephen. Religious leaders got mad. And so what do they do to Stephen? They walk him outside the city gates. They say, listen, you stand right there. We're going to throw big rocks at you till you die. And so these guys had on outer cloaks. And they're taking off their coats like this. And they're laying them down on the ground. The Bible says they laid him at the feet of a man named what? Saul. And Saul was standing there with the coats at his feet giving consent. This is a good thing, gentlemen. That's right. Ooh, good shot. You hit him well. Knock him out. Finding great delight in killing Stephen. Who did Saul become? Paul. All right? You think Paul has some things he needs to leave in his past? It doesn't mean that we don't say that of Paul. Yes, he did those things, and you don't forget them. But he didn't let that keep him from doing what God was asking him to do today. It didn't define him. Because God says, I'm going to make you new. Matter of fact, we're not even going to call you Saul anymore. We're going to call you, we're going to give you a brand new name. And I'm going to change your heart, and I'm going to fill you with my spirit, and you're going to do things that you've never even thought about. Sometimes we have to leave things behind so we can press on. Take an honest evaluation. Paul says, I'm not there yet. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to yet to have obtained it. So there's some things I want to do. I'm going to forget my past. And then third, to press on is going to require us to fully invest. To fully invest to reach the mark. See, pressing on is not just about trying something on. I bet most of us in this room have tried something on here in the last week. Have you? A shirt, sweater, shoes, hat, gloves, scarf, something. You tried it on. And so what do you do when you try it on? Button it up, you tuck it in, you put it on, you look in the mirror, and you adjust your hair, and you stand this way, and you stand this way, and you're checking it out, right? You're trying it on, and then you take it off. To press on has nothing of that in it. Pressing on is not, I'll just try Jesus for a while, and if everything works in my favor, then good. But, man, if I'm giving to the Lord and he's not giving it back, then I'm going to quit giving. And if I'm teaching and nobody's getting saved, then I'm just going to quit preaching. And if I'm praying and nothing ever gets answered, then I'm just going to quit praying. That's called trying Jesus on. Paul doesn't say I'm trying him out. He's saying I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. He's invested. He's fully invested. So let's go back to our opening illustration for a minute. We talked about basketball there. A lot of people try to run a press. All a press does is try to get two people around one guy so I can take the ball from you. And you're going to try to throw it over my head, and I've got a guy over here who's going to try to run and get it. And they're just everywhere, helter-skelter. I've seen a lot of people, and I've been a part of some of those presses, that never worked. You know why? Because we didn't buy in. We weren't invested. Oh, we were in the right spot. Give me the ball, Ivan, if you want to. But there was no aggression. There was no intention. We weren't really trying to win the game. We were just trying to get to the right position. So it's not about right positioning either. There's got to be more to it. Most often that press doesn't work because players aren't committed. Most often that press doesn't work because they're not invested. They may shift at the right moment, but they're not pressing toward the mark. There's no intensity, there's no fire, there's no aggression, there's no initiator within them. They're willing just to, que sera, going through the motions. So to press on is not just about positioning ourselves correctly. For example, we've positioned ourselves correctly today, right? We're in a good position. We're gathered as a church family. That's a good thing. And we've gathered in Bible studies. We've positioned ourselves there correctly. You may have positioned yourself somewhere this morning to read the Bible. Maybe you've positioned yourself to give to the Lord or to sing a song. We can do all the things. Be in the right position, but not really be pressing on. There's no determination. There's no fire. Or the word earlier was perseverance. To press on means I must fully invest. Let's go back to the text. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Personal inventory. One thing I do, I'm going to forget what behind. Got to leave some things in the past. And now I'm going to strain toward what is ahead. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul is willing to say he's fully invested. You know what demonstrates in that text that he is fully invested? How many things does he say he's doing? But the one thing I do. Man, do you want to be great at several things? I'd love to be a great guitar player. Play up and down it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Not for any notoriety at all. I'd just love to be able to play the thing the way I want to be able to play it. You'd love to be able to sing a certain way. You'd love to be able to take friends out on a lake and know where all the hot spots are and catch all the fish in the lake. And you'd like to take a buddy out in the woods and do the same thing. You'd like to be great at all sorts of stuff. But what's it say of me if I can take you out here and catch a load of fish and I can't begin to tell you the dream of my daughters? And what's it say if I could play up and down a guitar, but I don't know the desires and the dreams and the hurts and the passions of my wife's heart? Put your hobby in the blank. What's it say if I'm great at this, but I'm not pressing on in the Lord? Paul says there's one thing I'm doing. One thing. And he's chasing it with all he's got. Give me Jesus, give me death. Matter of fact, he said, to live is Christ, to die is what? It's gain, so bring it if that's what's required. He's committed. He's investing. So he's invested, and he's invested towards the mark. That's how that point continues. What's the mark? The mark's to become more like Christ. And that ultimate mark is to take hold of what Christ has taken hold of us for. He's going to bring us home. And one of these days that call will come. We'll receive that promotion. We'll receive that welcome home parade where we've been away doing the Father's work and now we're home with Him. It's not just about commitment. It's not just about investment. I would say everybody in this room is committed to something. And everybody in this room is investing in something. It's about being committed to the mark. It's about investing fully towards reaching the goal to win the prize for which Christ is calling you and I upward. Becoming like Jesus. Fulfilling the mission here. Receiving that eternal gift. So as we close here, I want to begin to ask you some questions. These are things that I've asked myself as well. And by the way, these first questions, I think, are probably more a reflection on me, how you answer, than they are on you. Would we honestly say that we're trying to become more and more like Jesus? Is that a desire of your heart? I think most of us would say, yes, we are. All right, well, let's try to prove that for a minute. What investments are you making to know Jesus better? What investments are you making to understand the Lord more? I mean, think of it this way, and I'll just go with me. How many of you own a Bible concordance? Okay, and how many of you use it? And this is not, you don't have to answer to me kind of thing. How many of you own a good Bible dictionary? And how many of you use it? So you might sit there and say, I don't have those, or I do, but I don't use them. I think that's a reflection on me. Because the primary work of the church is to do what? Paul says it's to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's to help put tools in your hands. And it's to help lead you in those things. And to desire a greater depth than you personally have right now. See, that 5-minute devotion is great. It may comfort you for today, but it's not going to reach deep and stretch your soul. And what's Paul, what's the word he's saying here? I'm going to forget what's behind and then I'm going to reach. It's the idea of straining towards something. I'm wanting to go deeper. It's not I'm willing just to be here. Now, nowhere in the Bible will you find it to say the way you grow in Jesus is to get a good concordance and a Bible dictionary. Those are just tools. But they are tools. And so I'm saying if you want to know Jesus more, and we say we do, what are we doing that proves that? There needs to be some depth there. You might say that cost me some money. What's the other word we're talking about? Commitment and investment. And the things that are worthwhile are worth investing in. So buy a concordance or buy a good study Bible. Buy a good dictionary. Matter of fact, I bet there's things you already have. If you have the internet, you have access to all this. You're already paying for it. Maybe it's just a matter of the heart. I want to know you better. I want to understand you more. What are you doing in your life that proves that you really want to become more like Jesus? It requires an investment. The truth of the matter is this: we invest in what we believe is important. So whether that's your marriage, whether that's your family, whether that's your church, whether that's your hobby, whether that's your personal relationship with the Lord, we will invest in what we say we value. Jesus said it best, didn't he? Where your treasure is, what else is there? Your heart. Your heart's there. We invest in what we love. If I love Jesus, am I making the investment of really wanting to know him more? I just want to encourage you, man, to press on towards that mark of becoming like Christ. Will it cost you time? Yes. Will it cost you money? Yes. Will it cost you to be humble? Yes. Will it cost you to be a servant to others? Yes. But it's the mark. It's what it is that we are to be pursuing. So Paul said, hey, let's press on towards some things. And he demonstrated by his life that he was doing that as well. But the truth of the matter is this: Paul's time is over. We're just reading his story now. Now it's our time. Back in the terms or the context of the game, now we're the ones on the floor or the court. We're the ones on the field. What are you pressing towards? Are you pursuing the Lord with everything that you have? I wonder this morning, are you willing to take an honest look at yourself and let somebody else take an honest look at you as well? Let them speak some truth to you. I wonder, are you willing to leave some things in the past so that you can pursue what it is that God wants for you today? Are you willing to invest? Put your money where your mouth is. Yes, I want to be like Jesus, and let's demonstrate that, and let's go to depths. Let's ask him to take us deeper than we currently are. It's time to press on. And so all I want to ask you today, very simply at the end, is this: will you? Will you press on?